Welcome to Hoopin' This On, Season 8, Episode 9, where we watch Deal or No Deal Island, Season 1, Episode 1, and Deal or No Deal Island! I'm Chris Lorenz.
He just wants to retire to his yacht. This is Brian.
I forgot to quit. This is Joe Max Janello.
Those are all quotes, or kind of quotes from the show we watched this week. But last week we watched Couple to Thruple, and we had a poll on X at Who Put This On, and you guys voted a top third show. So you guys agreed with me, you know, the audience. As always, I'm the one that knows it the best. But Brian, which show do we watch this week?
This week we watched Deal or No Deal Island. A group of 13 contestants compete in dangerous games on a private island for a cash prize in an intense season-long reality competition overseen by an enigmatic banker. That's Deal or No Deal Island on NBC and Peacock.
Peacock!
I can't believe there's a streaming network called Peacock. That's crazy.
Fits with the theme of last week's show.
It's true. Two Peacock shows in a row. Yeah. Crazy talk.
Peacock.
Yeah, so the show is they have a challenge, and then the winner has immunity. The loser plays Deal or No Deal. And if he makes a good deal, he gets to eliminate somebody. If he makes a bad deal, he's eliminated. Or she. Or it. Whatever you're going to go by, pronoun-wise. And that's pretty much the show.
All right, ratings.
And as I'm watching this, there are two distinct segments of this show, as we talked about. The challenge, and then Deal or No Deal. And I fucking hate Deal or No Deal.
It's one of the worst game shows on television, no doubt.
It's terrible.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Were you all thinking the same thing as me? Because I thought if they sped it up like that, I'm like, this is way more palatable.
What do you mean if they sped it up like that?
Deal or no deal typically just is drawn out as long as possible. It's just, it takes maybe like a half hour just to get through one person. This took like 10-15 minutes to get through it.
And
yeah, I can't imagine watching this slower. It is so bad.
I mean, I will have you guys know, I did watch this in MaxVision at 1.5x, and that was acceptable.
Oh, you didn't let us guess?
No.
How dare you?
Sorry, guys.
If you had to watch this with commercials, I'm sorry, because I can't imagine, because there's so many commercial breaks in this Deal or No Deal section of the show.
First of all, who is regular Deal or No Deal for? I think it's for grandmas who don't know how to find the remote to change the channel.
What if it's for parents of newborns that like can't pay attention to anything because they're so sleep deprived? Like, that seems the level of energy this you should have.
If it were them, I would much rather watch Jeopardy or something. You can tune in for one clue. Hell, even Wheel of Fortune. It's Deal or Deal, there's no... It's like, okay, basic math, do you understand expected value or not?
Yeah, the other ones engage the brain a bit.
It's definitely, like, what kills me is, like, the breaks. It's like, okay, the bank has offered you $45,000. Are you going to take the deal? Commercial break. Come back. And then they don't take the deal because it's a shitty fucking deal. And we all knew it. And then they do it again. And the next one, it's like $250,000. Are they going to take it? No. But do we have to sit through 5 minutes of commercials? Yes. And you suck all the life out of me. And I didn't watch commercials with this show, thankfully. But it's still like they tee it up like a commercial break. And that's even annoying. At least in that true, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've established that classic Deal or No Deal is unwatchable. This one is slightly better because, it's Peacock. There's no ads.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you pay for Peacock. If you don't pay for Peacock, there's ads in it.
Mm.
Or if you, there's like an ad version of Peacock.
You still have to pay for it.
I'm surprised all three of us have ad-free Peacock.
Like, you know, I don't know what happened with my Peacock. I generally try to block ads, so it could also just be I said fuck you to Comcast.
Yeah. It's probably you just blocking the Peacock ads is really what it's coming down to.
Get wrecked.
But I legitimately have ad-free Peacock. That could be also Max's thing, too. How good are they at blocking ads?
I was watching on my girlfriend's account, so.
Oh. I'm still excited to really meet her.
You will soon enough.
I know. Can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the actual exciting part of this show. I think we're pretty much done talking about Deal or No Deal. I highly recommend you just skip it. And this show is watchable. But that's just me.
Is it though? So, is it? I'm going to call that into question.
Yeah. Well, that's what this segment is talking. We'll talk about the actual show.
All right.
And you can decide if it, like, I think you should give a rating to each segment of the show. And we'll see how that goes. But so the real show here is they're on an island. They're on a quote unquote private island, which I highly doubt. But, you know, we didn't see a lot of infrastructure or like they're even staying in tents on this island. They're not like staying in like a villa. So the chances this could be like a real private island is, you know, a lot higher than normal. It's called Banker's Private Island.
I can tell you one thing for sure. It's not that Banker's Island.
They keep saying this. Like I'm guessing everyone in the show is normal Deal or No Deal watchers. And do people in Deal or No Deal believe there's a banker, quote unquote, a banker that picks the numbers?
Well, so in the next time on, they seem to tease that you will see the banker in the flesh.
No shot.
I didn't see that. I definitely missed that part.
There's like a throne where they're clearly they're suggesting the banker will sit in it, I think.
Maybe that's just the winner sits on the throne.
I'll have to go back and check. I'll let you guys know. Yeah, what if Howie Mandel is secretly also the banker? The banker has like a CGI producer. Boat off the shore of this island.
Yeah, with a helicopter. Don't forget the helicopter.
And also what seemed to be a Bitcoin symbol on the boat for some reason.
That's how we got the money for the boat.
Oh.
Oh, that's true.
Or maybe it's the banker symbol and they had it first.
Maybe that's how they're putting the numbers.
It's probably a B for Bitcoin. Or for banker, sorry. So it starts out with you look at this baller boat. They go to Banker's Island. And then you meet all 13 of the people, which, no, we don't know all the people, so we're not going to go over them.
Yeah, and you don't actually meet all of them. It's definitely like they'll introduce you to like four an episode, and one of them will go home.
Yeah, we'll talk about the people. But then they go down right into their first challenge where they have this helicopter that drops off cases from Deal or No Deal into a, like, I don't know, a pit?
Bog?
Some sort of, like, the worst mud pit I've ever seen on a reality show.
It's, like, big. You gotta traverse this thing. It's not just, you know, go in there and fight. It's, like, it's big.
Yeah, the whole thing is, like, how athletic are you to get through this bog pit to find, you know, a decent number and get out? Because there's, like, a 70-year-old person on the show, and she clearly cannot do this. Like, I don't know how she ended up doing this. Overall, she must have just clung onto the side, or somebody eventually helped her. It's unclear. They kind of fast forward her like making it to the end.
I mean, they just sort of trapped when everybody else is just waiting for her. Like, they had to have helped her.
Yeah. So So the first challenge is all 13 of them have to get a case from this bog. And the one with the highest number has immunity, and the ones with the lowest, two lowest numbers, are up for elimination. So the winner gets to pick who goes in and plays Deal or No Deal at the end. But there is a twist. Brian, what was the twist?
The twist is that there are two red cases among these other cases. One of them contains a low dollar value, so you're almost assuredly going in there. And then the other one is a steal, where you can steal from somebody else. But you also don't know their values.
That's correct.
Yep.
Which is, you could have stolen the lowest value, but the chances are low. They're like 1 in 12 if you steal. Well, we find out that for some reason, no one picks the red case because they don't want a target on their back, obviously. And the like old lady decides that she wants to go back in for the red case when the bank offers $10,000 to do so.
Well, she thought she had the lowest value, which is correct.
What was her lowest value?
$7,000.
She had $7,000 case. Okay. Then that makes a lot more sense. But like, she barely got there. How is she going to go back into that mud? I was like, oh my God, if I was on that.
I mean, I don't think there's a time limit.
I know, but it's probably hot and you're muddy. And well, I actually don't know if it was hot.
Here's the options I see them. You get a steal and you can get a higher dollar value, or you get trapped in the mud and get sent home.
Or you get a case that also has a low value and you've lost nothing.
Yeah.
There also is a pivotal thing here where another player or contestant went in and helped the old lady by getting the red case and bringing it closer. So she didn't have to actually.
How'd that work out for him?
Yeah. So surprise alert, he got target on his back for doing so, because there's, you know, you only need the smallest thing for like the first episode target, and he was eliminated. Spoilers.
I also don't like it. We'll get to the elimination, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
We've already spent 10 minutes on the elimination.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
just spent 10 minutes on Deal or No Deal.
So okay, if you win the Deal or No Deal game, which you do by getting better than the banker's offer, do you win? Do you get to stay on if you take the banker's offer?
Yeah. So if, you know, you have $10 in your case and then the banker offers you like $50,000 and you take the banker's $50,000, you won because you got more than what's in your case.
Okay.
Which, I mean, they didn't really explain how the end was going to work. So this guy, Aaron.
Just Aaron.
Yeah.
Single A.
He makes it to all the way to the end of Deal or No Deal, which is pretty impressive. I was kind of confused because like the last offer was $450,000 or something. And I guess that's the banker's deal that they were going to work on. So if he had more than that, he was going to win. If he had less than that, he was going to lose, which, sure. But that's how it would work. The
rules
time.
Make no sense in this fucking show. And then if you win the Deal or No Deal, you get to just choose one person to go home, and that's that. There's no group voting or anything. I bet shit, like, you should get to choose somebody to go home if you like win an interesting challenge, but no, you just won Deal or No Deal.
This is Deal or No Deal Island, Max. You gotta play Deal or No Deal.
Who is this show for?
They also called the elimination area the temple, and I thought that was really obnoxious. Like, they're going to the temple.
I mean, like, I feel like Survivor, it's usually something stupid like that too. You know, the fire zone or something. I don't know.
It's not called the fire zone. It's I don't know what they call it. Oh, my brain's freezing.
The campfire, the fire circle, the Boston Rob's Emporium.
Yeah, I mean, but like they call it the temple. The temple is like This is definitely like a religious connotation word. It's like, so I'm assuming everyone on the show treats Deal or No Deal, like if you were going to go to the studio, would treat it like a temple. So I feel like it's fitting for the people on the show.
What if the banker is actually an allegory for God?
I mean, he is. Yeah. You never see him. He provides judgment.
He definitely works in mysterious ways.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first, folks. We've discovered the identity of the banker.
It's an algorithm designed by a set of, you know, programmers, and the producers just pick from some algorithm, probably. Speaking of contestants on the show, we have the most famous contestant is Boston Rob. He is from Survivor. He has played Survivor 6 times, and he's won once. He's met his wife on Survivor. He is known as a villain in Survivor, and it's brought up a bunch of times in this episode.
There's a lot of Boston people on this show. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what's up with that. Maybe they casted there.
They are starting at the beginning of the alphabet of what city you are from. So they didn't make it very far. They only made it to B. They got a couple from Albuquerque, a couple from Albania, and Boston.
Yep.
I'm just making that up.
Boston
Rob is definitely trying to like control the game. And this is what I find the most entertaining of the show. And I think this is what they want. They like, they have a lot of good film on like this part of the show with Boston Rob and him trying to collude with people and set up alliances and just, you know, take control of this game. But to Max's point, the elimination, he doesn't have a lot of say in who gets eliminated.
Right. Like, the whole game here, the social game, sucks because there's no, like, group voting. It's, like, one person who, by chance, happens to get the worst value and, by chance, happens to win or lose Deal or No Deal, then gets to choose. It's just boring because there's no thinking.
But if you like Deal or No Deal, it's exciting.
Hey, if you like Deal or No Deal, stop listening to this podcast because this is only for smart people and you're not. And
whoa,
you should.
Whoa. I think you can like Deal or No Deal. It's fine.
You can like Deal or No Deal if you suck ass.
Yep. But you heard it here first. It's not the demo that my specific demo either. But they definitely try to make this picking cases thing super exciting. Which people get the people on the show get really into it. They're like, you got to pick 8, 8. Oh, it's 75. And they go fucking bananas. And like, I don't know. You get some energy out of that.
I do like that, you know, all of Aaron's picks. He's like, oh, 13. That's my birthday. Oh, 12. That's my sister's lucky number. Oh, eight. Eight, you know, it's a nice cube root.
That was when my sister held her quinceañera. Just like silly shit. Let's see. What else is there to talk about? I have in my notes they all came in. Like they came in on Jeeps and they all had the Deal or No Deal logo on the side and they looked exactly like a Jurassic Park Jeep.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Literally exactly the same.
I was personally hoping that everybody was in a bikini and nobody was.
I have a quote from my girlfriend while we were watching the show. Why is that twink over there holding cucumber water? I don't get it.
Who was the twink?
You remember there was a guy, he was like one of the models that opens the cases and while they were in the mud pit, he's just holding some cucumber water for Joe Manganiello. We haven't even talked about Joe.
Yeah, I was actually just like Googling him, so I had something to say.
He plays the bully in Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, Flash Thompson. He was also a werewolf in True Blood. El Cid was his name. And so that's definitely his apex. This is a big downgrade. But Joe Manganiello, I'm sorry. He is the host. So where is our normal host here? Why is he not on the show?
Telling you, he's the banker.
You tell me Howie Mandel is the banker?
Obviously. Where else could he be? He's got nothing going on. Sorry,
are we saying Howie Mandel is God?
Yeah.
Definitely. He's germophobic. That's all we know about God.
You know, if he's germophobic, he shouldn't have that disgusting job. He seems like he'd be okay at stand-up. He's probably wasted on this fucking show.
He has been wasted on Deal or No Deal forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you only have to work, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks out of the year, that's, like, the best gig of anyone's life. Like, that's it. You've won. You get a stable gig as a game show host, you've won. You've done it. Just stop. Like Drew Carey, he's not trying to do anything.
But I mean, that's also Price is Right.
Anything. Any stable where if you think you can live on that, you should just live on that. That's it.
Yeah, good point.
You just make like 10 of those a day. It's like, that's it. You're good. You don't even have to do anything. You at least have to. I hate when they don't look interested, though. That's just like the one thing I ask you to do when you film a game show is you got to be into it.
Agreed.
Yeah, bring the energy, because if the contestants can't do it, if you can't do it, the contestants can't do it.
Did I ask the question about do the contestants in the show believe the banker is a real person?
Of course not, but I'm sure the producers told them to discuss him as if he were.
You think so?
These are all, like, especially the grandma, these are all, like, you know, reality show junkies. They know how the sausage is made.
That's fair. I have a confession to make, guys.
You love Deal or No Deal.
I let the next episode autoplay for like 25 minutes.
So we did hear from a friend of the show, Steve, that episode 2 is much better.
It is better. Like the first 25, I watched the first 25 minutes. There's no Deal or No Deal. It's a normal hour length episode. Well, there hasn't been any Deal or No Deal yet. So I don't know how long, I don't know if they're going to finish a Deal or No Deal in the last 20 minutes, but you know, theoretically, if they fit that in the like last part of it, then I think it'd be a pretty solid episode. Like there's a lot of like survivor like alliances being made and trying to figure out like who, you know, who's with who and discussing who should be eliminated. And like all that is, I like that stuff. That stuff's good. And the challenge was pretty interesting. It was like they like teamed up into twos. Somebody had to go get arrows from a tree, and then the other person had to shoot these arrows into like targets, and the targets had like numbers on them. And there was pretty epic moment with like Boss and Rob had a pretty epic moment, and the old lady had an epic moment. I won't give it away. Both of them have like epic moments, and they decide who wins and who loses, and they tee it up that way, and it's pretty good drama. Like the first 25, like episode 2 was way better than episode 1 so far.
Well, sucks for them that they wasted my time with episode 1, because I'm never going to watch more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with the show. Believe me, I'm done. Like, hey, Boss and Rob, not going to keep me in the show, and he's the only interesting part about the show so far.
Yep.
It would have been interesting to see if it was just like all celebrity, like pseudo-celebrity reality show people. Like the Traitors or, you know, other reality shows instead of just like Deal or No Deal fans.
Yep.
I just don't think you could get those people to come on this and like be excited about Deal or No Deal.
Absolutely not. They must be paying Rob big bucks to be here.
I mean, he's got a chance to win a lot of money. Like, we didn't talk about this, but like the first round of Deal or No Deal had like a normal amount of money, which is apparently like $4 million on the board if you add up all the money. But the last game is supposed to have $200 million on the board, which is pretty nuts. Which I don't even know why you could say $200 million. Like, they said $200 million is on the line. I'm like, no, it's not. That's just how much money's on the board. That's not like how much money anyone can conceivably win.
But guess what? You're going to have to play Deal or No Deal for it.
You're going to have to watch 1,000 hours of Deal or No Deal Island to figure out who's going to win. It's a little confusing how the mechanic's actually going to work. They claim like the winning case will be on the winning, like each episode's winning case will be on the winning thing at the end when there's only one person left. But that doesn't make sense to me if you're going to have $200 million on the board. Like, I don't really understand how that's going to work. They didn't really explain it to me.
Yeah. They put as little into this show as possible.
I don't think so. I feel like this is a pretty expensive show. Did you see the helicopter? Did you see the Jurassic Park Jeeps?
I think the Jeeps were the most expensive thing. Maybe the tents.
They got Joe Manganiello.
Joe Manga.
He's expensive. Well, I just how is Howie Mandel not in the show? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, what the hell is he doing?
I don't know, man. Maybe he didn't want to go to some shitty island for 3 weeks.
I would still go to an island no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy some time on an island.
But it's like island probably in the middle of winter. Yeah,
it's still better than.
Do we have any small observations about the show? I got nothing.
I got a couple of quips from people. Like, Boston Rob said, "I want to control the game. I don't know how, but I will." And like, there's no game to control, really.
Yeah,
there's
no way to control it.
There is a little way, but not like Survivor. You know, Survivor. No, there's much better ways to control. Let's see. Let's just go to questions. Who is the worst human being?
Howie Mandel for not giving us entertainment.
The banker? You saying that God is the worst?
Yes. He allowed this to happen.
And still Howie Mandel.
I mean, you can make a case for Aaron because Aaron kicked off the person that was just trying to help the old woman.
Nah. I mean, he won the game. He can do whatever he wants. Everybody was judging him too. It's just like, dude's never been outside in his life. Nah, whatever. Don't care. You won.
Is it all the people that like aligned with Boston Rob, even though Boston Rob will definitely like backstab them?
I think if you are really famous on one of these shows, you're like cursed. Like, you're going to get knocked out pretty early. People are afraid of you.
I mean, you should be cursed.
Yeah.
But like, the producers want nothing. The last thing they want is them to get eliminated first. There was a season of Survivor where it was like Boston Rob and was on one tribe, and then there was like another villain on another tribe, and the other villain got eliminated first. So like, he was the first one out. So it has happened. Let's do. Would this show be better as a Quibi or TikTok? What do you think, Max?
What do you think I'm going to say, Chris?
Yes.
Yes, because I wouldn't have had to waste an hour of my life on this garbage.
You could just swipe. You didn't waste an hour of your life. Mr.
I wasted 40. I wasted 45 minutes of my life.
Brian, what do you think?
I absolutely think this would be better as a Quibi, because I can cut out so much of this. Just put the little competition in the beginning and I'm good. And even that's a little bit boring.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different show. I don't know. Be tough. So I'm going to go with no. Let's do some drinking rules. Obviously, I think the classic one here is you take a drink every time that the banker gives a deal, and any time and every time it's decided whether they take the deal or not take the deal, take another drink. Because that's like, you got like a lot of time between those two, usually. A lot of commercials. Max, I'm sure you have a great drinking rule.
I do. So you're going to want a shot glass and a large cup. Every time they mention the banker, you're going to fill your shot glass with something and then put it in the large cup. So you're sort of building a bank, so to speak. And then whenever they mention the cash prize, you drain the bank.
I mean, there is like a fun element to your role. I'll give you
that.
Thank
you.
Brian, you have a drinking role?
I'll just kill people. Drink every time you see a briefcase.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely dying. All right, so we already got ruined by Max's role. What speed did Max watch the show at? Brian, what do you love about this show?
I love that they actually tried to enhance another game show. They recognized that it had flaws, and they worked on it.
Max, what do you love about this show?
You know what? Joe wasn't that bad.
That's what you love, is that Joe wasn't that bad.
Yeah. he had some good energy, I felt.
Just... All right. What I love about the show is that 10 people sat in a room and were like, we have this great IP, Deal or No Deal. How do we turn this into a competition game show? And they did it. I think this is the best way you could turn Deal or No Deal into a competitive reality show. And I like the competition part. I do not like the Deal or No Deal, but the competition part's interesting. I don't think you should probably have an 80-year-old grandma on the show when your like actual challenges are pretty challenging. So she's probably not going to be on the show for very long. But, you know, that's what I love about the show. So now we do ratings, where we do a stack ranking system between top, middle, and bottom third. Max, what do you give me? What do you give
bottom,
me?
Bottom third, middle of the bottom. I'm not going to justify myself.
Brian.
Okay. I'm going to go bottom third, but maybe top of the bottom, just because of the social elements that are there and hearing that it was a better show episode 2. I still don't have faith in it, but you know, I would give it another shot just for episode 2.
I'm going to go middle third because I think half the show is good and half the show is awful. So half the show gets top third, half the show gets bottom third. We'll meet in the middle with the middle. And Noah, unfortunately, was sick tonight, but he did watch the show and he gave me his rating. He said, bottom, middle of the bottom, the show followed the Survivor script too much and just rebranded it to D-O-N-D. I love the acronym. Production quality is great, but bottom for calling it on creativity and just so difficult for keeping my attention. The last sentence didn't really make that much sense, but I do have some they have like a Survivor segment where they talk about like alliances and who's voting for who and stuff, but that's the only Survivor like thing in the show. Like they didn't eat anything Survivor. Like there's no like votes. There's like the challenges are very different than Survivor.
Yeah, they don't really like. I don't get the whole Survivor thing, but I kind of see it. Maybe just because like it's an island, like it felt like it.
Any show that is set on an island, Love Island, so much like Survivor. Survivor.
I would say BIP is not like Love Island.
We're talking about Survivor. Like
Survivor.
You know what I mean. It's not like Survivor.
I know. I agree. I also don't think this show is like this show is one element of Survivor.
I'm sure it'll get more Survivor like. I think Steve said it gets more Survivor like.
Well, the second episode's very like the good part is what is like the Survivor element, which is also why I don't think it's very good because the Survivor element they like push it, but it's not Survivor. It's nothing. You know, nothing's gonna make it Survivor. You know. Anyway. That's it. Tell us what you thought about this show on X at Who Put This On. We'll have a poll up. Let us know what you thought. And now we're going to do some shout outs. So last week we watched Couple to Thruple and I've been side watching Couple to Thruple. And I do think that it suffers. Episode one is very representative of the full show. It's overly long and overly edited. Like there's a good show here if you could cut off all the fat, but you do really get to know all these people and these people are nuts and it ends up being really fun people watching where it's like not only do you get to watch the couples and deal with their like how do we add this third person, you also get to deal with the singles that come in and what kind of people sign up to be in a thruple. Like all these people know they're coming on a thruple show, which is great. Like so many times we watch these shows and you don't like, they didn't know what they were signing up for. And it's like, I didn't really want to be in a, you know, who can dress like a baby the most, you know, kind of reality show or something. Like, whereas like all these people want to be in a thruple. It reminds me a lot of the Tiny House Hunters kind of shows where like you could just be like, who the fuck wants to live in a tiny house? I'm like, oh, that person. That's definitely a tiny house person. And you know, that's what I want to say about the show.
Does it get more explicit?
Not really. There's like we saw a boob flash in the first. Again, I'm only half watching it, so I probably missed, you know, whatever. But there's only like flashes of boobs in the show. And I've seen no peen, but I've seen some butt.
Okay.
But there is a lot of sex going on in the show.
That's what I expected. Honestly, like everybody knows what they're getting into with this.
So here's a question. Why aren't any of the couples just like quadrupling?
That's it, because right. The show has a framework, like, and this framework doesn't let them quadruple. Okay. I think that there are people that would, but mainly, like, they added a new couple, and that couple would probably just, like, want everyone in there to, like, get together. But overall, the show is too focused on thruples. Like you'd think the two couples would want a couple together, like, but that doesn't happen.
Max, I really just think it's because the bed isn't big enough, Max.
Makes sense.
Yeah. How big of a room do you need for the big enough bed to have four people in it?
I think you could do a California King, no problem. You don't need a shack bed.
Somebody has to lay at the end of the bed.
I mean, but that's like kinky. Like they're into feet.
Max, you got any shout outs this week?
Still watching The Traitors. One of my faves is making it to the end. So yeah, it's good.
Is one of your faves?
No spoilers.
Macaulay Culkin.
Yep. Macaulay Culkin. They tag him in and he makes it to the end.
Brian, you have any shout outs?
I'm going to shout out Love is Blind latest season. I've been watching it with Katie, and it's been interesting seeing how much of a disaster people are in this season compared to other ones.
Like I just finished the episode 12, like an hour before this podcast.
Ooh, season dang. Six, yeah, or season seven?
Season six.
Though it's not the latest.
It is the latest. Don't question me.
I thought you were watching the Seattle season.
No, that's season four. And I'm also watching season six.
Okay.
Doing so many seasons of this.
Sorry. It's just funny. I have a shout out. I watched half of an episode of Shogun, and I'm like so excited to watch the rest of it. It has this like epic feel to it, prestige feel to it. Feels like Game of Thrones-esque, like everyone else is saying. I agree. Definitely, if you're missing like prestige television right now, Shogun is where it's at. You should watch that.
I was very pleasantly surprised by Shogun.
Well, that's good. You agree with me.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us this week. And we didn't really talk about what we were going to watch next week. So I don't know what that's going to be. We're going to have to look in the show description. It should have what we're going to watch next week. And you can find us on Twitter or X at HoopThisOn. You can find us on Facebook.com/HoopThisOn. You can email us questions and suggestions at HoopThisOn@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next time.